You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is Wednesday, hump day, got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, you'll get it done anyway. I know you will. But if you don't have to, continue to shelter in place. Continue to be safe. Continue to wear a mask anytime you go out. Continue to wash your hands and keep a safe distance. It is, I don't know if they call it the second wave of the coronavirus, but it's been peaking and spiking the last month. The state of Wisconsin, where I'm from, man, and I'm going there at the beginning of next month. Ooh, I'm going to be putting, I have two masks on, shoot. Man, stuff is crazy, isn't it? I know, brothers and sisters. But it is what it is. That's what Trump said when all the people were dying. It is what it is. Man, this cast, I'm sorry, but I'm, after all this man has said, after all this man has done, I can't understand why these mugs, and even some of us, would want to continue with four more years of this stupidity and madness. It just goes to show how crazy it is, isn't it? Just goes to show. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. The rundown we have here, the lineup here on Time for an Awakening Media, and remember, all times I give are always Eastern times. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. After that is, from 9 to 10, every first and third Monday, Conversations, Reparations within Cobra. Brother and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, at 7 p.m., After 7 with host Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Give him a call. He'll hook you up for a trip of a lifetime. I know he has a trip coming up November, next month, November 20th through the 30th. Not sure because of how the coronavirus is still raging. It's going to be very difficult to have brothers and sisters or people, period, leave here and go to other countries because of the seriousness of the coronavirus here and in Europe. You know, so his trip for November 20th to the 30th, I'm going to give him a call to see what's happening. And then he has one at the December 24th or January 5th. And then he has one coming up April 2nd through the 12th. And then a tour going again in May 24th through the June 4th. And then to South Africa, November 19th through November 29th. To South Africa. All those trips are $3,700 per person. You can put a $400 deposit on and then begin to pay on it. So you don't have to put a big, you know, and drop a big amount of bread. And then bam, you're ready to go. And everything that you need is on the website. All the paperwork, all the visas, all the information, shots and so forth, where to get them. All is there. So give Brother Bomani Tayemba a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Renoko Rashidi. Baba Renoko has a trip coming up. I'm not sure if his trip will be. Make that either because it's January 21st through February 4th going to Uganda and Rwanda. Man, it's just, and I keep saying that and I say that with a smile because I'm, you know, his trip is 4,200. And if I really want to do that, I'm going to have to make a decision right away because I ain't got $4,200 to drop like that. I know a lot of y'all do, but you know, I'm retired on a fixed income. He also has a trip to Kemet, August 1st to August 14th, 2021, going to Kemet. So, Brother Renoko, go to his website, drrenoko.com, or give Baba Renoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Habashah. Habashah Brothers, HabashahIncorporated.org. Go to their website, HabashahIncorporated.org, and you will see the tremendous work that they're doing. Their mission, of course, is they're a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and family through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. You can see the buildings they're putting up in Ghana, the work that they're doing here with the Habashah Works, the Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, the Urban Green Jobs, and of course, the Kashi Project that is happening in Ghana. So go to HabashahIncorporated.org and support them. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, she's open, so if you're in the Atlanta area near Greenbrier Mall, please stop by. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff right there at the Greenbrier Mall, in the Greenbrier Mall, the Meddu Bookstore. Meddu means writing. Meddu means writing in ancient Kemetic language. There's a word that goes after Meddu that is Netcher. The Meddu Netcher, that's what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. Divine writing, divine speech. The Meddu Bookstore. The number to call her is 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Gazimde Jamu. He has a nice coffee bar serving delicious coffees and pastries and so forth. Bean pie, that's right. The Supreme Bean Pie. When I was up in there, he had the Supreme Bean Pie from Chicago, brothers. And you know what I'm talking about, and sisters, too. And, of course, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. in Lithonia. Give Brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Because if he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, he'll get it, because there is light in the black dot. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End here in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from Shrine of the Black Madonna, and, of course, the West End Mall, which, of course, is being gentrified. That's a whole other plan. It's a whole other subject. You can give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's Us Lifting Us every Thursday night at 9, from 9 to 10. If you want to call to listen or call to make comments or concerns or questions, dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing an outstanding job. I need to call her because I talked to Paul Pumphrey. I'm going to get him back on because they're doing some great things. Brother Paul Pumphrey told me that they're about to do their thing in terms of expanding their cocoa and chocolate manufacturing. That's right. Can you imagine? All, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a damn shame. You know, like I said the other day when I sat in that cocoa farm in Ghana many years ago, I think it was my second trip there. I don't know. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm seeing all that is happening. I'm saying to myself, all the raw material that Ghana has, and we don't produce nothing. We ain't making nothing. All this raw material goes out of here and goes to Europe, to Nestle's, to Cadbury's, all those other chocolate places. Well, that's about to change. That's about to change, and we got to thank Brother Paul. He was on the program about, I don't know, early this year. I think it might have even been before COVID. That's how early it was. But I'm going to get him back on, and he's going to talk about this endeavor. And so Sister Gabrielle really knows him and the work that she's doing. See, we were talking about it, the work that she's doing in the northeastern part of Haiti with her program with young people, with education, with health care, the drying fruit and the chicken incubator, all of those things, all of them. So check out Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay dash Haiti dot org. Akabin Institute, make your check a money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or go to Cash App. If you go to Cash App or PayPal, on Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donations. And they are greatly appreciated. Mama Yah emailed me because I've been asking her for the programs that are upcoming. Saturday, November 7th, which is coming up soon, her program, Resisting Feminism of Any Color by Any Name, Resisting Feminism. And, of course, due to the COVID, you make your $10 donation, $5 for teens via PayPal, and that's yahbaruti at yahoo.com, Y-A-A-B-A-R-U-T-I at Yahoo. Include, of course, the pertinent information, Resisting Feminism, title of the program, your name, and, of course, your email address so you can get the link. And then, of course, Baba's program, Baba Baruti's program is
prayers of gratitude. And that's also her program. Time frame is from 4 to 6, from 4 to 6 on that Saturday, November 7th. His program is from 12 to 2, from 12 to 2 on that Saturday. Prayers of gratitude. Same thing applies, brothers and sisters. If you want to make that donation for the program, $10, $5 for Warriors in Training. And, of course, go through PayPal, yahbaruti@yahoo.com. Include, of course, the pertinent information, prayers of gratitude, your name, your email address, so you can be sent the link so you can participate on Saturday, November 7th. There's another program, Black Sustainability Summit, coming up. The Black Sustainability Summit. I'm looking for that. The 5th Annual Black Sustainability Summit is going to be... Why are they giving me a... Excuse me. Oh, celebrating this Friday, October 23rd, this Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This Friday, the Black Sustainability Summit. Apologize about that. The Black Sustainability Summit. The 5th Annual Kibuka, November 21st, from 5 to 9 p.m. This is also going to be online, of course, remembering the middle passages through the eyes of our ancestors, the Kibuka Conference, and the same thing applies. Make your donations. It's $20 a family. $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 for individual adults, $5 for children. Okay, include the information, Kibuka, K-E-B-U-K-A, Kibuka, your name, your email address, so you can be sent the stream. And that, once again, is going to be November 21st. November 15th, the week prior, Sunday, November 15th is the 17th annual Ibakasun Sumsum Spiritual Warfare. Race First African Ancestral War Plan. Sister Marimba Ani, that's going to be Sunday, 12:30 to 6:30. This is not streaming. This is in person at the Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. Sweetwater State Park, where it's always been held, as far as I know, you know. So that's going to be Sunday, November 15th. And then for Warriors in Training, IWA, the IWA, a 5-week course for young sons and daughters taught by Baba Baruti for your Warriors in Training. And I think the beginning date, the course will be held December 2nd through the 30th. The month of December, December 2nd through the 30th. And it's $45 for the entire course. And of course, it's done online. You can make your $10 donation for each individual class if you want to do an individual class. And to yahbaruti@yahoo or Cash App, $yahbaruti. Include, of course, the information, the AWA course, your name, your email address, so they can send you the link, and your phone number. Okay? And there's a commercial here for Midwife accepting clients for Midwife. But that's, I appreciate that, Mama Yah. And so we'll get that information out there. The Inye Sesem, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 20th. The Kemetic Mystery System, like the modern university, was a center of organized culture, and the candidates entered it as the leading source of ancient culture. Dr. George G.M. James, the author of Stolen Legacy. In the comedic mystery system, there was a basic set of rules that neophytes had to learn and internalize if they were going to become living manifestations of God force within. Nothing short of the mystery of these rules could elevate their minds to the level where they could begin to comprehend the multidisciplinary material required for thinking, for great thinking. This cultivation of the mind, body, and soul requires decades of quietly sitting at the feet of those who had already mastered the subject matter and wise in the ways of African people, studying the materials in a universe from which they were systematically gleaned, thinking about what had been learned and what had yet to be refined and corrected, and meditating to still the body and quiet the mind so that the divine thought could freely flow and appease the spirit within, which facilitated intuition. In the end, a master stood in all ways inseparable from his people. He religiously practiced the art of good speech, and always he exhibited good character in all facets of life. Affirm, I am a neophyte of the wisdom of the way of African people. Affirm, I am a neophyte of the wisdom of the ways of African people. October 21st. People are consumed by evil because of keeping it close to it, not because of keeping away from it. Kikuyu proverb. Evil is rewarded in an evil place and has historical evidence, and all around us today demonstrate European society is an evil society. People use all forms of euphemisms to window dress this ep term, but no matter what name you call it or angle we look at it from, it all boils down to it being what it is, evil. We are only confused or shocked by the immorality and unethicalness, which we forget that evil promotes and rewards evil, not goodness. Within evil environments, evil rules. This is the domain regardless of the delusion of peace and love. In an evil place, evil people thrive. Evil spirits congregate and coalesce. Those who do wrong prosper. In evil places, good people are punished. Only in good places does good prevail. It is only there that good people with genuine good hearts can truly be warm and open to everyone. This land, this space, this society that is dominated by Europeans is not a good place. It is sick. It is evil. This is an evil environment. It spreads outwardly from its polluted center as a plague. We could never build here. Let me repeat. We could never build here without first removing this evil. Good and evil cannot peacefully coexist. I repeat again, good and evil cannot peacefully coexist. One or the other will dominate. Warriors must recognize that in Western society, it is only the pretense of a battle between good and evil. Here with them, there is nothing that can prevail but evil. We must find a better way to make the African way prevail. I do affirm, I do not keep company with evil. Affirm, I do not keep company with evil. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, I know, brothers and sisters. I hear you. Still speaking in that vein of Pan-Africanism, in fact, the title of today's program, Africa Must Unite Now. I'm talking about right now. Africa must unite now. The time is of the essence. We don't have time to be playing around. Kwame Nkrumah. I thought I had. Oh. Kwame Nkrumah said this a few years after Ghana became independent of Europeans, of the British, in 1957. He said this in 1961, the Speech of Freedom. I strongly believe and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all humankind, of all mankind. After he said that, some years later, he said, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Oh, how pathetic, and oh, how right, oh, how sad. My friend Marimba Ani. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that Europeans has on our ability to think victorious. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts, as so we can visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future to which Europe leads us is genocide. For real. For real. You know, the definition of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, I read the other day. I'll continue to read it, and I'm going to play this other piece here. The definition, so we're going to be clear about what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is. Basically, it's not an organization. It is a campaign to bring about as quickly as we can. Not no set year or no, we have to have it. We have to be moving, with speed right now. The Pan-African Federalist Movement is a full sovereignty of African people, first and foremost. It is a campaign machine building coalition. We build coalitions. It is a campaign machine building coalition for the political unification of all the African states. Its one and only commitment is to reach the above stated goal before the end of the 2020, between the 2020 and the 2030 decade. And please adhere to that. I mean, damn it, we need it now. If we could say between 2020 and 2025, 5 years, I mean, every day it gets worse. Every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, it gets worse. 300 million Chinese set to come in. Africa at each other's throat fighting. In Nigeria, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You know, I tell you, I'm just, You know, at times I'm really saddened by how bad it is, you know. I'm really saddened because it doesn't have to be that. You know, had we, what I just read to you earlier about Nkrumah, had we embraced that? I know the forces are tremendous. The forces were tremendous then, and the forces are even deeper today because of the technology. Because of the constant disinformation. In fact, I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about free speech. And they're saying you may have to curb free speech because of the constant disinformation, the constant lies. You don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm so damn tired here in Georgia. We've been listening to political ass commercials since the spring, even before COVID. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all these lies. To me, in a society, you have to produce, if you're running for office, you have to produce something factual. And if it is not, and you continue to do it, your ass is out. How can Donald Trump lie as much as he does, and these people still want to support him? After all he's done, to me, there has been a couple of things that he has done, and I said to myself, that should be it. You know, he did that. That should be it. It's definitely the coronavirus piece because that has caused death and that has caused the economy to. Because, I mean, when he inherited a up and coming economy from what Barack Obama did, that's why to me, all the stuff about this, that and the other about Biden will just do what Barack Obama did. He'll work on that. He'll expand on that. The same thing Trump did. Have no praise for Biden. One cat said, only thing I know is that if Biden gets in, we're going to have a black female president. They think that Biden won't last. And he's the old, he'll be the oldest person to be elected president of this country. And you never know. But anyway, nah. I just can't see it. That's what they're saying in some places. How can it even remotely be close? How can anybody continue to vote for that asshole? I can't stand Donald Trump. No, I ain't crazy about Biden. In fact, if you ever heard me, I don't promote voting. The only vote I want to see is a plebiscite or a vote about what we going to do. What we going to do about reparations? What we going to do about leaving out of here? What we going to do? That's the vote. I'll gladly stand in line for hours to cast my ballot. And no, our ancestors didn't die for no damn right to vote. And I've shown the hell our ancestors didn't die so we could vote for these same damn crackers who put us in this mess. No, I have never voted for a cracker in my life. And I ain't shown the hell ain't starting now. No, brothers and sisters, if you feel it's important for you to vote, please do so. If you still feel you need to vote for Donald Trump, go ahead. Vote for your conscience. It is your right. You vote the way you want to vote. If you want to write somebody in, you do that. And no, if you don't vote, you're voting for no, and that's bullshit. If you don't vote, you just don't vote. Because you didn't vote, you're going to say, that's how Donald Trump got in. No. Donald Trump got in because of a messed up system of the Electoral College. That's how Donald Trump got in. Yes, I know in Michigan, the brothers and sisters in Detroit area didn't vote as they could and should have, which swung that state for Trump. But so was Wisconsin, and so was Ohio, and so was Pennsylvania, all in this Rust Belt. Get out of here with that.
There is is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Ashe, the time is now. Right now. We don't have time for anything else. All energies and all efforts must be pushed into, directed into Africa uniting. The others, they are implementing their plans. We're talking about it. We're just trying to figure it out. We're talking about it. This past weekend, five African-centered or Pan-African organizations had Zoom meetings. Might be more. There should have only been one. There should have only been one. And that one should have had the ability to connect to the Africans on the continent. Because right now, Nigeria is up in flames. We'll talk about that in the second part of the program. I didn't know anything about it. It's been on the internet since and on the news. Because the Nigerian government are shooting and killing its citizens. This is madness. This is madness. But there are other places on the continent that is crazy as hell as well. Still problems in the Sudan. Still problems in Mali. In Mali. Definitely in Liberia. Definitely in Southern Africa. Africans must unite now. Africans in the diaspora must unite with Africans on the continent to save the continent. I don't give a damn about America. I don't give a damn about the Caribbean and South America. There ain't a damn thing we really can do about that. I don't care if they make them states or not. Damn that. We're talking about the continent, which is rich in mineral resources, which is the gold of all those other countries. And why there are military bases from Europe and America on the continent, soil. Why there's other countries aside from China and Europe and India trying to get a piece of Africa. Everybody's trying to get in and we trying to get out. It does not make any damn sense. We have tonight now. I made mention of that at our conference this weekend, that he had all these other, organizations and so forth, and even the ones that had some this month already. I had on the Pan-African Revolutionary Party. They had a Zoom conference October 12th in that area. But all of them should have came under, I don't give a damn if you want to call it the Pan-African Federalist Movement, what the hell you want to call it. I just told you about what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about, how it defines itself. It defines itself as a coalition and coalition building of other organizations. We need to have one voice. We need to go to the UN. We need to go to Europe. We need to go wherever the hell we got to go to China and speak with that one voice and say, this is who we are. And this is what we want. And this is what we're going to do. I ain't asking for approval. I'm not asking for your damn help. We have all we need. What did Marcus Garvey say? Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you... That's right. Will. You can accomplish what you will. It is the will. Do we have the will? Do we have the right mind? Do we have the spirit? Talking with a friend of mine this morning, and she just said, I don't know, Oshi. I don't think people are going to gravitate to Pan-Africanism. I understand that. And you know what Marcus Garvey said also, not all of us are going to go. In fact, a lot of us ain't no damn good here, and we ain't going to be no damn good there. So keep your ass here. Now, there are some people who could be here and be of a big benefit to us there in terms of resources, in terms of expertise. Some people, I understand, you are invested. You got homes and businesses and children in school, all of them. I understand that. I hate to use comparisons, but hey, the European Jews, no matter where they are, they make sure they find a way to support Israel. And they have bamboozled these folks here because of that religious thing that we support Israel, we meaning the United States government, support Israel to tune of billions of dollars. No amount of money is given to a country outside of here more so than Israel. I'm going to take a break. I think I need a break. But when I come back, I'm telling you, I'm just like, damn. We don't have time to say by this year or that year. The movement is now. Time is of the essence. We must be expedient. We must begin to, you know, say this is it, and put those datelines and timelines and give responsibility of who's doing what. We got to do this. And these organizations, all these other Pan-African organizations, all these other organizations, if they truly are, they've got to come together and sit down and say, this is the directive. You know, I ain't talking about the organizations that, I'm talking about Pan-African organizations. I ain't talking about the organizations that are here in this country, like Black Lives Matter and so many others that seek funding from the government, seek funding from philanthropic Caucasians. I'm not talking about them. They are trying to affect change here in America. I give less than a rat's ass because we've been trying to do that since we got off the plantation, so to speak. And then a damn thing has truly happened. I don't give a damn if you want to measure the little incremental ass movements and incremental ass laws, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, the Constitution. To me, that ain't worth the papers printed on. It don't mean nothing. It's hollow. Because the Europeans and who and what they are an evil people and promoting and instituting an evil system. Capitalism capitalism. They made socialism, and they have it. They have social, but they made socialism like an evil thing. No, capitalism is evil. Anytime somebody can have so much damn wealth at the expense of everybody else, that's evil. One person, the 1% has more wealth than 80% of the people on the world. What the hell? 1% of the people have more wealth than almost 80% of the people on the planet. What kind of? It's crazy. Yes, I know that the 1%, they will do, they already have a security force, I'm quite sure, and they will do whatever they can, but damn it, we have to do it anyways for us and our survival. We must challenge it. We can't do, it is not for us to do it here. This is not ours. They've established this for their prosperity. It is theirs. And I know they say you got these laws and so forth, and we should be able to share. Hell with that. It's foolish. We cannot deal with a people. We cannot deal with them. To hell with them. It is about us. It is about us having our own. That's what time it is, dear brothers and sisters. And it's been time. It's past time. It's right now. I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
It's the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we are not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, stick to the verse. Gods are gods from gods to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With a cause I never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness born forth the one. Open eye, stroke shun. Patterns and priests standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice, never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. All right, cool, but no need to pull the trigger, that's a fool. I get my words like that in my stool to produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course they're not having me. Madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and hear the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse, funk is a foresight joke. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you native soon a lick. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vanglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence, grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer, vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor, and neither my demand makes stone seem soft. Corrupt all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I can never swear a place, so just hasten your step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places in the antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step on.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere, people on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dash to tangle, skip the life and dangle. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
My brother's doing bad, stole my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Me on King Kong, standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, buddy?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem, man?
They lay upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's go check out June, bro. Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got balls, man.
Not what?
Again,
man.
She got hurt.
What
is happening?
What's going on? Free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
What is that, a gang?
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. X-Clan, the words of the brother, and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, the message. Man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, African Perspectives, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Mondays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shani B. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, I tell you, I'm very upset. Got a couple of calls here. Let me take a call. Maybe that might chill me out. Good afternoon, 404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, Uhuru, my brother.
Uhuru. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man. Hey. It's just upsetting times for some people, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, my brother?
Yeah.
But that's what I be trying to tell you, man. The way this stuff going on with this AI got people hooked on emotion, especially Black people, man, all this emotion. So what I'm learning is, man, you got to, for me now, I can't tell no other Negro or no other anybody what to do. Everybody got their own choice and decision, but I refuse to get upset with this stuff, man. I try to stay logical, man. You got to stay logical. When you get emotion, you just can't, you will be unable to think straight, man. That's why I try not to let none of this stuff that's running all these different programs and stuff you see what's happening is to get people emotional where you can't think straight and you make wrong decisions. That's why a lot of our people argue with each other, man. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody, man. The main thing you got to do is don't argue. For me, now, what I do is don't argue with none of my brothers and sisters, because that's what the oppressor want us to be upset with. It's chaos, man. It's all chaos. And it's all written, man. I see what's happening, so it's a joke to me. I'm enjoying the show. I'm not jumping in getting upset.
Listen. If that is the case, Wes,
yes, sir.
You know, when is the joke over? When do they say the story's over? Can you give me a time frame?
Now that
that you can't do,
hey, bro.
I understand.
I'm able to. It's written by
Yeah, I know. So I know it's been written. I mean, hey, listen, you know, the Jehovah's Witness said the world's going to end. There's been other religious organizations that said the world's going to end. Some had signs. The Christians, and I'm talking about fundamentalists, evangelicals, and so forth. Their time was 1988 because Israel had been established in 1948. And they said 40 years, after 40 years, it's going to be the tribulation. There's going to be all these calamities, and then there's going to be the rapture. So there were Christians who thought that their ass would be raptured up around that time.
Yep.
And then there was a doomsday group, and they took their lives because they thought that time was up. But let me just say this, Brother West, I don't give a damn. The time is now. Time is of the essence. Okay.
That's right.
Because number one, the damn calendar is messed up. The calendar is European.
Right,
this is the Gregorian calendar we're operating under. And previous to that, it was the Julian calendar we're operating under. We should be operating under the Kemetic calendar, which is the first calendar in the world. All the other came after. So I'm saying, so that's like even zodiac signs. How do you know? You don't. So I ain't even going by none of that madness. I'm going by what's happening in the world at this moment. And at this moment, the idea of African sovereignty, African independence, self-determination, and liberation is not happening. We're not, just like in Kwanzaa, the last few years, and last year I did a presentation on Kujichagulia. We're no closer to self-determination today, at this moment, even when I said it earlier in December last year, than we were when Kwanzaa started in 1966. The bottom line is that we keep hoping, praying, and wishing that this country, because we look at the technology of everything, the modernization and this and that, we're enamored by it, we're captivated by it. To the hell with this. This is an evil ass country run by some evil ass people. And they're not going to change. There ain't a damn thing we can do. I tell y'all all the time. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. There ain't a damn thing you can do or say, even though there's a plethora of information to prove otherwise. They ain't going to damn it change. And so the change must be us. To go inward, to purge ourselves of all this ignorance, all this stupidity, all this madness. And I ain't talking about here in America. I'm talking about African people globally, because I don't talk about just us here. Because it ain't about us here. It is about Africa and Africans. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
So.
And see what I do? I stay in the present, man.
Stay in the present.
I stay in the present. And the only stuff I can control is me. Yeah. And so sometimes I got to have a rough situation trying to control myself. But I look at the art of war and what the art of war say. As long as you control the enemy within,
that's right.
You ain't anything outside you.
Sans
it won't be affected. So that's how I roll, man.
I'm going to tell you.
I ain't trying to figure out when the madness is going to end by all these messed up calendars. But just like this month here, they call it the 10th month, but October 8th is the 8th.
Right.
Acme 8.
That's right.
So they got everybody hooked up, messed up on this time.
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing is messed up. When Julius Caesar said, I got to have a month, July. And then when Octavian defeated him and changed his name to Augustus Caesar, he said, well, hell with Julius. Got a month. Well, shit, I should have a month too. How many days Julius got?
Yeah.
31 days? Well, shit, I should have 31 days too. Where are they going to take the days from?
They got us
from November.
Man. Even with the so-called first month, Janus, that's two faces. Mm-hmm. That's some two-faced thing, Janus. Okay.
And of course, why should January be the beginning of the damn year?
In the middle of winter, man.
The beginning of the damn year, you know. So anyway,
it's fun to be alive to see all this trip stuff they've been throwing at us, man. And the main thing is, for me, I try to stay centered and in love with for my people, man. That's the number one thing, man.
I ain't trying to fight
none of my people, man. So all of us in this matrix, man. I don't care if the one that these Negroes, my white folks, better than this white folks. For this presidential crap, man, it's some bullshit to have us arguing, man.
Yeah.
Sorry to be cussing on your line. I know how you and my man Elliot feel, man.
Yeah.
About cussing on the radio. Well,
I mean, you know, we want to do is have a program, you know, that we have dignity and so forth and so. And that's why I agree to it too. But sometimes, brother, see, I let go.
You can't help it. Can't help it.
You know, because it makes you, this shit makes, excuse me, see, I did that again. It makes you want to holler and throw up both your hands. I hear you, Wes. Thanks, brother. Thanks for listening, man.
We all trying to make it through this matrix, man. I appreciate it. I love you, man. Just
you
try
too.
To stay cool, bro. We don't want you to fall out now.
Oh, no, I'm fine, cool, man. All right, Wes. Thank you, brother. Peace to you. 602.
Yes, brother Oshie. Greetings, brother Oshie. Brother Marcus.
Good afternoon, brother Marcus. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, good brother. And good. I know you're a little bit frustrated, you know, but you know, don't get frustrated, brother. You know, this is not a sprint. This is a really
It's a marathon. I know it. But there's those moments in time that you just can't help, but you have to comment.
Frustrating. Yeah. But one of the things that we need to implement, just like how these Islamic fundamentalists have these schools, we need to have some African fundamentalist schools.
I agree.
Because unless we change the mindset of the next generation,
I agree.
We're going to be talking about this the next 30 years.
Yep.
See? So when we move to wherever we move to our where we at right now, we can implement those things. We can implement that fundamentalism, see, into our youth. We must if we're going to survive as a race, you know. So if the African intellectuals, the Afrocentric intellectuals, could get some type of African centered curriculum from K to 12. You know, then we can start to change the reorientate the minds of our people, because I was surprised to find out that in a country like even the Gambia, although it's predominantly black, they have no concept about racial identity.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to them about race, it's like, it's like space.
Yeah, because of the educational process that we are using as African people globally is European.
It's Arabic too.
Yes,
because Gambia is a country that's 95%
Islamic.
Arabic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Islamic, yes. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to our brother, and he said, oh, well, you know, in our religion, we don't see race. They said they don't see race. So I'm like, So when you talk in, you know, Pan-Africanism to them, that's like, you know, what I said, brother, don't you think that black people should have, you know, should have a racial economic cooperation like the Arabs, like the Chinese, like the East Indians, like the, you know, don't you see something is wrong with that, that these people practice racial economic cooperation?
Yes.
But when you talk about it, they say, no, you're being a racist. Something wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like he couldn't grasp it. So then I realized, wow, we must. So when we move to Africa, bring our schools, our African fundamentalist schools, to reorientate the minds of our youth. Because unless we do it, we finish.
Yeah.
We finish. And I know black people, we ain't finna finish right now. So I'm saying, so, you know, we got to just push on. So don't get frustrated, my brother. You know, this is, as I said, you can't get elated or depressed in this thing. You know, this is a long term. But we going to win.
Oh, we gonna you win know it, brother.
In spite of how dismal it look, we going to win this struggle.
That's right.
Because we weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Me and you ain't supposed to be talking on the radio, no, on the phone.
Especially like hey, Marcus, especially like this. So yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
We are supposed to be done. Okay?
Yeah.
But we still here.
That's right. We're
so
still here.
Keep on keeping on, good brother. Thank you so much for your program.
Thank you, brother Marcus. Appreciate you, man. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Odios, what's happening, man? I turned on your show, and I hear you saying you upset. What you upset about, brother?
Oh, I'm upset for a number of things, but one of the things I'm truly upset for at this moment in what's happening in Nigeria, the Nigerian authorities are just shooting into the crowds of people, of peaceful demonstrators, are killing people, and all the other things that are happening. And then we just had this conference this past weekend of a Pan-African Federalist Movement, but yet there was four other conferences dealing with Pan-Africanism, and that's just upsetting me because we're so fragmented, we're so divided. There should have been one, damn it, Pan-African conference. There should be one, damn it, Pan-African conference. And not just here in the States, but globally, one. And if there needs to be some other organizations coming out of that as a coalition of organizations to do whatever that might be, then damn it, that's what should happen. But it should be one. We should be speaking with one voice. When I'm seeing right now what's happening on the continent, we need to speak with one voice. We need to go to the UN. We need to go to any other place. Not that we beg anybody. We're saying this is what time it is. No longer will Africa be manipulated and undermined and scrutinized. No longer. No longer would Africa be divided by these false borders that you Europeans have created during the Berlin Conference of 1884-85. No longer. No longer will we be stuck in tribalism. We'll respect traditions. We'll respect all those other things. But we are one Africa. We are one people. If we would embrace that back in 1957, when Kwame Nkrumah said that at the first beginning of Ghana's independence, and said that many times before, if we would have accepted that, what Patrice Lumumba said, what Thomas Sankara said, where would we be today? As players in the world, as opposed to the pawns that we are. So yes, I'm a little upset. I get upset every now and then, Jay. You know?
Hey, you should be upset all the damn time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
That situation in Nigeria is absolutely madness. That right there should cause the people to really, you know, stand up and really get it popping, because the thing with Nigeria is, you know, I have to laugh whenever I think about Nigeria. And did you ever see that post that was made with I think it Mike Wallace telling Farrakhan that Nigeria.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it's one of the most corrupt, one of the most corrupt places on the planet. And Farrakhan lit into his ass.
That was Farrakhan at his best.
Yes, it was. I agree.
A perfect example of how to shut a cracker down with just magic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first time I saw it, I had to watch that damn thing 10 times because it was just beauty. I mean, you know, Wallace couldn't open up his mouth, especially when he said, right here, because the truth of the matter, there is no other corrupt place in the world other than America. Now, getting back to Nigeria. Nigeria has, from what I understand, the richest men in the world on two levels. And this the craziness of it all. Oil and religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, think about that. The richest pastors in the world are in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And the richest oil barons. Let me say it this way.
Let me say, and you're right about the oil baron. He's one of the richest people, not just in Nigeria, but the richest person in Africa. But in terms of the religious people, of the top 10 Christian preachers, of the top 10, I'm talking about all the other Caucasians out of here, Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes ain't in the top 10. But two Nigerian preachers are in the top 10. You know?
Now, what should that tell you about spookism?
Yeah. And ignorance. The consistent prevailing of ignorance on that kind of, when you talk about, and you look at wherever Christianity is and is being implemented and imposed upon us, we are looking for us to die. Our condition here and praying and so forth is deplorable. Is deplorable. The preacher living well, the preacher drive a nice car, he's living well, but our condition is deplorable. And because we've been taught, because we've been taught that you should pray and you'll get yours in the by and by.
It's like, how could you accept any religion from your rapist? A man that would rape your mother and your sister and rape you too, how could you accept their religion? That right there always ended it for me. I mean, I could never go for it. Yeah. But the thing I wanted to say about this Nigeria thing is, they're saying that the reason why the police are killing the people is because of the protesting, police violence, and the killing of civilians. You know, the funny thing is, if they could get away with it here, they would do the same.
Yeah.
Now, in Nigeria, more than likely, they'll get away with it for a certain period of time. And then the people are just say, the hell with it, and they'll start killing police, which will take it to a whole nother level, because the difference between the Nigerians and the Americans here is, when they get fed up with something, they willing to die for it. We ain't willing to die for it. We willing to let people get picked off, which they will do. Well, but in Nigeria, you'll see soon if this don't get under wraps.
Yeah.
You'll see mass killings over there.
Oh yeah.
Now, will they report it truthfully? I don't think so. But believe me, them people over
But you never can tell how it will be reported, and whether there's CNN,
MSNBC,
the BBC, Al Jazeera.
Well, that's different, though.
You know,
that's not America. The American press is going to make it slanted so maybe they could come in there and benefit from it. No, it's not going to give a true, honest depiction. I mean, they do it with everything. I mean, just take into consideration, how do you allow a bastard like Trump to be the symbol of this country here and get away and do the things that he's doing? And you talking about this is supposed to be a democracy and the most advanced country in the world, and you got a son of a bitch like him destroying it, which I don't care, but it's just the optics of it is what makes me sick.
Right,
and
I agree.
The second thing is, like I said to Dr. Rogers last night, is we don't even have a plan on what we going to do as black people if the bastard get back in the office. You're going to have people commit suicide because of that bastard getting back in the office. I mean, we're so messed up as the people.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay.
That we should be concerned about
dealing with. If he gets back in, if somehow he is elected through, and obviously it will probably more than likely once again be through the Electoral College, he cannot win a popular vote.
In the court.
You know, and the court, because there'll be some discrepancies, just like it was the court gave Bush with the hanging chads and all that bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, but the bottom line is this. I understand what's happening. And for me personally, I'm out of here. I'm out of here anyway. But I sure in hell, I'm not going to fight. I wouldn't even pick up a damn rock, a pebble, to fight these crackers for me to stay. No, that's not me.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know?
I'll fight
for liberation.
Like I say,
I'll fight for self-determination. I'll fight for sovereignty.
Yeah.
But I ain't fighting to stay here and to be continue to be ruled under the how these people want to do things. No. I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it. I got another call, Jay.
As long as my business is right, I'm cool.
I hear you.
I'm not going to never fight for the liberation and the upliftment of no damn cracker on no level. So if this bad boy falls,
it just falls.
I'm just hoping that we find a way to safeguard and save ourselves and move forward as an African sovereign people.
I hear you. I got another call, Jay. I appreciate you. Hang on. 334-334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How are you? I tuned in a little late, but just trying to trend with the rest of the callers, and I really do like Brother Marcus had mentioned with regards to African fundamentalism, which is much needed in order for us to continue. For a plan, if the president returns to office, wow, I think that should have been something that should have been had way before he even got to this position. And so what is it going to take now for us to pull together our resources and to energize? We should not have to wait until the election for something
that
to happen.
But I know
I tuned in late. Again, just kind of basing it on the calls that you've had and I've heard up to this point, it's high time that a plan be established. But it's going to call for a meeting of the minds. And I remember talking with you some time ago with regards to the events that happened in this particular month. It should not have been four or five different organizations doing six and seven, eight, nine different things.
I
did have a chance to look that up, and I'm like, man, I just didn't know that.
Exactly.
And so, because we are so fragmented, what is it going to take is the question that I have. And I know it starts with me. Before all of this, I have to look myself in the mirror, Brother Oshie, and be honest with myself and what it is that I know I can do, what it is that I need help with. Am I willing to take that extra step forward? So that's where I am with this conversation. And hey, as always, it's an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. Yes. And look forward to more conversation.
Always. Thank you so much, Brother Ted Lusk. I love you, man. Peace to you. Like to come down there and visit you, man. Or come over
we're
there.
We're only 2.5 hours away.
I know. We can be, go to the Civil Rights Initiative again. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, which is interesting because, you know, there's a lot of photography of instances that have transpired in our history. And I'm curious to know what is the psychology that is underlying a lot of those images, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at enslaved people, as we look, as a matter of fact, in Face-to-Face Africa, just a couple of days ago, I came across an article about the Jesse Washington lynching in Waco, Texas, which, man, just reading that article and envisioning the kind of stuff that happened to Jesse Washington was unreal, just totally unreal for human beings to do what they did to another human being, number one, and then number two, for what white people have done to that black individual, right? So it's amazing with the kind of imagery that we see. What are those underlying psychologies, or psychology for that matter, is being displayed and implemented?
Yeah. Well, I read the Inye Sasim. Every program I read the Inye Sasim, which is Baba Broody put that together of daily revolutionary thought. And today it talked about the evilness of this system. European systems is evil. Capitalism is evil. Their systems are evil. And that's the bottom line. That's why that situation happened, because that's the kind of system that we're in that would allow them to massacre that man that the way they did, cut his skin off, cut his limbs off, you know, shoot him, burn him as well. I mean, you know, it's just that sick. It's just that sick. And so when they talk about violence, the most violent people on this damn planet are Europeans. They've been violent from their inception. Because of their evolutionary development, violence to them is second nature. It is their nature. Violence.
Uh-huh.
So, but I'm going to read this piece on Nigeria. And so if you're going to stick around, please do, okay?
All right, I most certainly will, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lusk. Appreciate it. From CNN. Witnesses say Nigerian forces opened fire on protesters in Lagos. Protests against police brutality in Lagos turned bloody on Tuesday despite statewide curfew, with eyewitnesses telling CNN that multiple demonstrators have been shot by soldiers. Demonstrators have taken part in daily protests across the country for nearly 2 weeks over widespread claims of kidnappings, harassment, extortion by police until of the police unit known as SARS, Special Anti-Robbery Squad, S-A-R-S, SARS. Tuesday saw the state governor impose a 24-hour curfew and deploy anti-riot police to the city. One witness at the protest said the shooting began after the lights were turned off at the Nigerian city's Lekki toll gate. Members of the Nigerian army pulled up on us and they started firing, he said. They were shooting. Firing straight directly at us, and a lot of people got hit. I just survived, barely. He also added that barricades on either side of the scene were blocking ambulances. Other witnesses, a brother named Temple, said that he heard what he believed were bullets being fired from his home nearby, and that the sound blasted for 15 to 30 minutes. Speaking to CNN from the scene of the shooting, the gentleman said he saw multiple bodies laying on the ground when he arrived to help those injured. CNN has not yet been able to confirm casualties. The state government has ordered an investigation into the incident, according to the Lagos government spokesperson. According to a tweet by Olakegi, Lagos governor has also advised security agents not to arrest anyone on account of the curfew. The protests at Lekki toll gate had been mostly peaceful, with demonstrators singing the national anthem, staging sit-ins, and praying. Early in the day, Olu had imposed, Swange Olu, who was the governor, had imposed a 24-hour curfew, including the closure of all Lagos schools. Only essential service providers and first responders have permission to be on the streets of Lagos, which has an estimated population of more than 20 million people. The city of Lagos, 20 million people. Dear Lagoans, I have watched with shock at what began as a peaceful demonstration to end SARS protests has degenerated into a monster that is threatening the well-being of our society. He tweeted as he announced a 4 p.m. local time curfew. SARS was disbanded on October 11th, and a new police unit is supposed to replace it, that will be trained by the International Committee of the Red Cross. Please. Reuters reported Monday, protesters are demanding further protections against police, including independent oversight and psychological evaluation of officers. Death and severe injuries among the protesters have been reported since the weekend. Amnesty International said its Twitter account Tuesday that it has received credible but disturbing evidence of excessive use of force on occasions, including death of protesters. A 17-year-old died in police custody on Monday in Kinu, Nigeria, a city in the northern of the country, after allegedly being tortured, according to Human Rights Group. Many protesters and journalists were assaulted by police and thugs in the city of Abuja on the same day. That's the capital city now, Abuja. Videos and social media show dozens of cars belonging to protesters burning, and Amnesty International said three people died. While we continue to investigate the killings, Amnesty International wishes to remind the authorities that under international law, security forces may only resort to use of lethal force when strictly unavoidable to protect against imminent threat or death or serious injury. Okay, Amnesty. Other videos show a mass breakout of hundreds of prisoners from the Benin Correctional Center in Edo State in southern Nigeria. It is uncertain who is to blame for the breakout, with protesters claiming it was staged by police. The Nigerian police force said in a tweet that protesters carted away arms and ammunition from the armory before freeing suspects in custody and setting the facility ablaze. Edo State Governor Edwin Obisi imposed a curfew on Monday, tweeting about disturbing incidents of vandalism and attacks on private individuals and institutions by hooligans in the disguise of end SARS protesters. Riot police have been deployed across the country. According to a tweet from the Nigerian police force on Tuesday evening, the Inspector General of Nigeria's police has ordered the immediate nationwide deployment of anti-riot police officers to protect lives and property of all Nigerians and to secure critical national infrastructures across the country. That's what's happening, y'all. That's what's happening in Nigeria. The bottom line is that whoever runs the government, if you run the government in a corrupt manner, this is what's going to happen. When you have a country of millions of people, we all know and heard about what happens in Nigeria, the corruption that goes on, the graft that Nigeria has. Listen. Nigeria had the same possibility that Saudi Arabia, that Abu Dhabi, that Dubai, that United Arab Emirates, they had the same possibility to develop the way they did. The only problem is that you had corruption, because corruption was instilled by Europeans. Corruption was instilled by the British and other factions and groups.
Hey, Osh, you got to say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, man, that's the point I'm trying to make, man. See, you got the same thing. Them black. If you go back to, just go back to Rwanda, man, where they had the Hutu and the Tutsi fighting against each other. That, you can look that up. It's called Operation Crimson List, man. Okay, now, that I can see if the Nigerian government was shooting at these goddamn, excuse me, these Chinese, are them crackers over there, man. That's who they got to clean the land with, man. Okay, they always, we always shooting against killing our own people, man. I'm tired of it. I'm like you now, man. I'm tired of all this black on black, man, all around the world, man. Okay, it's being manipulated, man. I'm like you, man.
When that's
we
my
stop
point.
This BS madness, doing what the oppressor want us to do, man.
That's
you're just
my
killing
point.
Me, man. I'm sick of ocean. I'm like you,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, that's my point. And it's sad.
Yes, sir.
And it's sickening because, like, you know, you know, and I've said this many times before about Nigeria. You know, Nigerians are intelligent. They're some of the most intelligent Africans. You know, many of the Nigerians who have left Nigeria to go to what they consider a better situation, i.e., number one, Britain, and then number two, here. Or some are probably starting coming here more so than others and do well. And even South Africa. In South Africa, mm-hmm. where they talked about xenophobia, fear of outsiders. That's bull. Because what was coming to South Africa was other Africans from Ghana and particularly Nigeria who were more equipped or more prepared or better educated than the South Africans. So when those jobs that those brothers were getting coming from Nigeria and Ghana, as opposed to the South Africans, instead of fighting the cracker, they've moved on those brothers and sisters because they took those jobs. What you should have did is demand that the South African government educate you in a manner that you will be prepared to get those jobs. And because when you go to the South African government, that's not Caucasian. It's supposed to be us. But the people who are getting the jobs, or who are offering the jobs, excuse me, were Caucasians. Because they still run it. Caucasians still run South Africa like Caucasians still run Namibia and other parts of Africa. This is called neocolonialism. I'm sorry, Wes, go ahead.
Hey, man, they got our minds so goddamn screwed up, man. We've been mind fucked, okay?
Okay, watch your language.
That European thing out of mind. I'm sorry, man. I had to put it out there just like that, man. They got us so screwed up, man.
Yeah.
It's going to take, hopefully, it gets so hot that this ice start melting, man, on our mind, man.
I hear you.
But we're so fighting against ourselves, man.
Yeah.
It's like we're eating our own self up, like we're on parasite, man, eating our own self up, man. It's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, well,
that's why I go out of my way. I go out of my way not to let that happen to me while I'm at battle with my brother and my sister. Man.
Right, you keep, well,
all
see, that's the
whole
thing.
World, we got our mind, so,
we're at war, brother.
Like,
brother West, yes, we're sir, at right. war for the minds yes, of our people. The most deep war that that's we're right. in is a psychological, philosophical war on the African
that's
mind.
Right.
Because if the yes, mind sir. Is destroyed, everything else will be destroyed. The body.
That's right.
The all the others. See, so we're at war. And the problem is that the our so-called leadership and the vast majority of our people here and globally don't understand that the implications of that war. Let me get another call, Wes. Thank you, brother.
Oh, let me say one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's why,
I'm sorry, go ahead. Wait a minute.
That's why I want a mission to rebuild the temple, man.
I'm sorry, say that again, Wes. I'm sorry.
I said, that's why I'm on a mission to rebuild the temple, man. That's what the whole deal about. is to rebuild this temple between our left ear and our right ear, man.
Okay.
It ain't no building.
That's right.
You build the black mind, the African mind, the temple, where we do this thing together, man. You know what I'm talking about?
I hear you.
Where we fight the press of shit out of our brain, man. Everybody go take go to the bathroom and get a mental enema. The press this European stuff out of our brain, man.
Okay. All right, brother.
You, brother.
Okay. 646.
Hey, Oshi, man. Yeah. What could you say after that? Enema to free your mind. Man.
Yeah.
That may be coming new
right.
racism again, man.
Right
I
on,
mean,
Wes. Well, you got to purge yourself.
Oh, beautiful, yeah. man. I just, what could be better? But hey, listen, in Nigeria, it's going to be what it's going to be, man. I mean, you would hope that the people over there will wake up and see what's happening to them and to their people. Because in all actuality, man, nobody in Nigeria should be hungry, man.
No.
I mean,
no.
That's the fundamental problem that I have with Africa and what's going on. With that type of wealth there,
yeah.
you should never be having your people not have just the basics, food and shelter. I mean, think about this, bro. Just think about this right quick. All that people said about how bad Gaddafi was, how did the Libyan people live is the key to all of it. The Libyan people had a standard of living that if that was given to these African countries based upon the wealth of their country, you would have the so-called Wakanda that everybody be fantasizing and talking about. Now look at Libya. Libya is
a mess.
Basically really a third world.
Yeah, it's a chaotic mess.
Because of bastards like Obama.
Yep.
So how could you ever respect a man like Obama based on what he did to the Libyan people? Now remember this. After Gaddafi gave up individuals who they determined to be responsible for that Lockerbie situation, and on top of that, gave up his weaponry, which was
yeah.
the biggest mistake.
That's a mistake. This wasn't the same thing.
Because he wanted to liberate and make Africa a better place for African people and get out of the cesspool arms of this European. So that's why Obama is a no good bastard to the end for what he did to Gaddafi in my mind too, Jay,
I said the blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and I can't stand their ass because of that. I can't.
The same thing
with Macron and whoever the hell was the prime minister of Britain at that time. Whether it's Tony Blair, whoever the hell it was.
That's why Hillary never became the president, if the truth be told, because the ancestors wanted to punish that dog for what she did. It's just unfortunately that the majority of our people don't understand the dog that she was and want to support her. Because there's no way in heaven and hell I could ever justify that dog being the head with what he did to Muammar Gaddafi and Negroes who want her to be the head of this so-called country don't understand politics like they say they do.
Yeah.
Because you would never want to support as an African a dog like that. So we get whatever we deserve.
Well, listen.
And at that time, what we deserve was Fredo Trump, and I'm loving it.
Well,
I hope the bastard get reelected.
Well, Jay, I definitely don't hope that shit. But anyway, I'm at the end of the program. We'll have that conversation for another day because you've been saying that stupidity. All right, dear brother. Peace to you. Jay been saying that. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope you can be back with us on Friday. Until that time, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.